Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, I'm so excited to talk about today's film.
Me too.
It's one that I feel like I've been really looking forward to since Cannes and Venice.
Yep.
We heard about it at all the festivals. And I mean, I don't know. I'm always interested to see how a film is going to be, I guess, in general.
Right.
But like, especially because sometimes a movie can be good, but the performances aren't good. Sometimes the movie, like, it can be either way. Sometimes it's all good. Sometimes it's all bad one way or the other. And this, I was hearing, the performances are great. The story, not so much. I don't know. Everybody has their own takes. Today we're talking about The Whale, which is directed by Darren Aronofsky, and it's written by Samuel D. Hunter, who also wrote the play. It's based on Samuel's play, which I had read, and yeah, I'll get further into that later, but that made me really excited for this, and again, it was one of those movies that everyone was talking about the performances in it, so I was anxiously awaiting, and I was really excited about the cast, and we'll get all into that.
Yes, and it's starring Brendan Fraser, who's having this iconic comeback that everybody is just raving about. But he's also teamed up with Sadie Sink, Hong Chow, Ty Simpkins, and Samantha Morton for this amazing and intimate kind of one room movie. Very theatrical.
Yes.
Yeah. I've also read the play multiple times.
Oh.
I've seen people do it for classes.
Yes.
Like specifically that one scene with Ellie.
Two-person scenes.
Yep. Yeah. Ellie played by Sadie Sink and Thomas the missionary.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. The amount of times I've seen that scene done or like the monologues from that in acting classes, it's like, okay, we get it. You're both sad.
Yes.
But I genuinely love this play and I'd always wanted to see it live. I'd always been curious about it.
I'm still really interested because I think a lot of what seemed like, wow, how is this happening? It kind of feels like movie magic. So I'm really interested to see how they kind of can do this night after night.
My friend Sydney, she actually played Ellie in high school.
Oh.
In a community theater production.
Oh, wow.
Of The Whale, and it's just like a blow up sumo wrestler.
Oh, gotcha.
Suit.
Gotcha.
So it looks pretty fakey, pretty campy.
Yeah.
In a play, but to me, I think Samuel D. Hunter is a phenomenal writer, and just text and the emotions kind of make you forget that someone's in an inflatable costume.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because a lot of the criticism this has been getting is about the subject. It's about a man who is very overweight to the point where he's pretty much immobile.
But, I mean, the plot synopsis, they'd say, like, even in the play, he's a 600-pound man.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah. And I think, like, especially with right now, and thankfully we're finally at this point where casting the right people to play roles, whether that's because of their identity or their sexuality or their body, is really important. And we saw that with the thing about Pam with Renee Zellweger that came out, I think it was like last winter. And for that, she was wearing a fat suit and a lot of people were upset because that was a role that they could have found somebody.
Yeah, they absolutely could have found somebody.
And this was getting criticism so far at the beginning. I feel like now that it's out, people will understand it hopefully more so. And also Darren Aronofsky has been able to talk a little bit on it and why he went the way that he did. But he knew that he wanted to make this, and people, you know, are saying that it's stigmatizing and mocking fat people. And I think it's just a really hard line to toe. I don't know. I think it's hard because, like, you kind of have to believe that the casting did their job and that they wanted the best actor to play this.
I think something interesting about the play itself was it was written and premiered a decade ago.
Yeah.
Which was a very different time for the conversation about representation and even, you know, body issues, acceptance, like how we are choosing to talk about people, all of that stuff.
Like Victoria's Secret was still...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, size zero models. And now, you know, it still is for the most part, but, you know, like, yeah, there were plus size models on runways. There wasn't plus size mannequins, and that really wasn't.
It was a really different time. So I think that's, I don't think this play could be written now and be as respected as it is. However, I have a little bit of an issue when it comes to the casting part of it, because it's like, okay, the playwright, the person who wrote the screenplay literally says a 600-pound man.
Yeah.
Were people expecting Brendan Fraser to be a 600-pound man and then incur all of the health issues?
Right.
That
would
come with that as well. Also, I
think people wanted them to find an actor who was.
But
it's like, okay, so
a lot of inherent risks. I mean, again, it is a dramatization of real life. However, he's
doing a job from home.
He's doing a job from home, and he's like, he's a sickly man. And I don't know that you would necessarily want to put someone with all of those issues in a role like this. I feel like it would do a lot more damage to that actor and to the rest of the cast and crew.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I think this is like a universal thing in terms of representation. I do think representation is important and necessary and vital to conversations that are being had and to progress as a society and as an industry.
Yeah.
However, I do take a little issue with the criticism that he's getting for taking on this role, because I don't think it's fair in this scenario. I also don't think that this is a fat phobic film. I think it's honest. I think that cruelty and hatred is that he gets about his appearance is real, and that is how people look at a lot of plus size people. I think it's accurate, but most of the stuff, you know, that like the dialogue that Ellie has
with
him about how disgusting and all of the really vile things she says and that slurs and all of that is coming from a place of even deeper hurt from her because of her abandonment.
Yes.
Issues, and
she's taking it out on him.
So she's choosing to take the easy targets, and maybe not even choosing, but like not even processing her own emotions, that she is saying all of these hatred and vile things that are surface level because she can't even recognize like how terribly she's hurting, because she's also 17.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think the criticism of this movie is, for those reasons, is not that it's not valid. I just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I think it's a really beautiful movie. I loved it. I was seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter and Letterboxd about how it's like trauma porn. Or like suffering porn. I don't think it's that. I don't know. I'm just a little confused that my opinions aren't in the majority for this one, because I do really think this is a very perfect movie, but I think it's also because it comes from a really wonderful script.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I also went in on this knowing the play. And for anybody who's read the play or knows it or has seen it, this is so true to the play. Like,
it's almost word for word.
You almost word for word. And I mean, I think at many points it is word for word. I really don't think there was any moment, maybe the pizza delivery guy, like there's not really any moments that like, I was like, oh, that's like not true to the play. And I think that both maybe benefits it and hurts it in a way that it is so set up like a play. And we've talked about that with like Bodies, 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 where that was clearly written by a playwright. And this also feels like that. And I think it kind of begs the question of like, okay, how much can you transfer over to a screenplay and not really adapt?
Yeah.
And I feel like this, for me, I loved the confinement and I loved that it just took place in his house because this is his reality. He's not leaving. The most he sees is his porch and that's the most that we see.
Yeah.
So I did like that because I think if we saw Ellie at school or we saw like Liz at work, like getting a phone call from him, you know, and they easily could have done that. Oh, getting a phone call, can you buy this for me? And she's like, oh, you know, like even a 3 second thing.
Yeah. Or like seeing her pick up the meatball stuff.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah. And we could have done that.
Or how like, they speak about him when he's not there.
Like, exactly.
All that kind of stuff. That could have been interesting, but that's also not what it's about. That's not the story that's being told.
Right, right. And I think that's the hard thing is it's like, okay, how much of this is like, oh, you didn't change it from the play? Well, that doesn't work in a movie. And then it's like, okay, but if you did change it, we're not getting Charlie's perspective. And now we would feel, you know, a little bit more on the outside where this is in 4-3 ratio. It's very tight, which is funny because I saw this in Dolby and I don't think it needed to be in Dolby because usually Dolby like makes it a bigger screen and is louder and like, the, you know, the quality and the crispness that. But then it's like, it was like so tiny on like such a big screen, but with AMC Stubs, it didn't cost me any extra. So I enjoyed it, but it was like a pretty full theater. I went Sunday at like 11 in the afternoon. Pretty full.
I went to see it at Angelica.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is for those of you who are from New York.
Did you go to the Q&A?
I did not.
I was like, excuse me. And you didn't tell me.
I wish I could have. No, I went to Angelica, which is already like a pretty New York style theaters are pretty claustrophobic as it is. They're like row.
Oh, yes, yes. Style.
So it felt like you were confined in the theater. Mm. There were quite a lot of people there too. So it was a pretty intense experience. And I don't know. I think it was a really good play to screen adaptation. Yeah. I think it was really intense.
Yeah.
And I was talking to people about it afterwards. And they were like, sometimes the score really took me out of it because it's just like really weird kind of like music.
Well,
but I kind of liked it because I feel like it added to the intensity. And that's why like the aspect ratio added to the intensity and staying in one room was intense. And seeing the people pass in the window, the shadows pass the window when you were like anticipating someone coming in the room and the rain and the, I don't know.
I did with the sound, I did have like, oh, because my interpretation from reading the play is like a lot of like noises of waves crashing, especially because it's the whale. And we've talked about this with Big Little Lies and White Lotus. Like a lot of times these cut to waves crashing can kind of amplify that. And when I read the play, I was like, oh, like that's really interesting because it doesn't take place on a beach. It's not like White Lotus or Big Little Lies. Yeah. But, you know, one of his fond memories is them at the beach and he's relating to this story of the whale and Moby Dick. And I was thinking that was going to be used, but it kind of wasn't.
Right. It was just in those like flashback sequences.
Yeah. And I felt, I felt like they could have done some like wave noises. I don't know. If anybody's been to a Dolby theater, it always plays this like, this was black in movies. This is Dolby black. And like, then it has like this guy like blowing fire and it has all these things. And then it shows like, this is like the sound. And it does a wave crashing to like show how the sound is going to move throughout the theater. And I was like, wait a minute, this is the perfect movie for that because it's going to have the waves crashing. And then it kind of did. And it used more rain than waves. And I liked that. And I felt like this just felt very gloomy.
It was so gloomy.
And I mean, at the end, my heart was literally racing and I knew the ending. because I've
I was sobbing.
Read the play, and I was holding it together. But yeah, a lot of people were crying in the theater, and
yeah, like when she says "Daddy,"
yeah,
it's like, oh my god, and my freaking
that's
heart.
I also wanted to talk about Sadie's performance in this, because reading the play, I knew about the movie, knew it was based on a play, and I was like, I'm going to read the play. And I was talking to my roommate, and she had been a teacher's assistant for a class, and she's like, oh, they worked on this in class. She was telling me about it. And I was like, why would anybody work on her character? Because she seems so one level, like, I'm just pissed off. I'm pissed off at you. You did me wrong. And that's kind of how she is. And for a while, I felt like, okay, like, that's kind of what Sadie's doing. And not in a bad way. Like, that's really just how the character is. Like, some people are that way. But I think in the scene with the missionary, and then also towards the end, like, we really saw that arc. And yes, for her character, it does happen late.
She
but I think
it's there, though.
I think she did a really, really great job.
I agree.
I was very impressed. I love Sadie Sink. I can't lie. I'm quite a bit jealous of her. But I love her. I think she's just, you know, she's one of those, like, child actors who I feel like she's making really smart choices.
Yes.
I say child actor. She's literally my age, maybe a year younger, but.
But she started.
She started in Annie, and I think that she has, like, picked really smart projects to work on. And I think she's also, like, not making herself super, not that this, like, commentary on her career, but, you know, she's not making, like, just Netflix thing. Well, she did do the Netflix, like, Fear Street and stuff, but I think that this is a smart departure for her. It's not, like, the biggest indie film ever, but it is A24, and I think it's doing really well box office-wise. I think people, audience-wise, it's going to grab the Sadie Sink people. It's going to grab the theater people. It's going to grab the girlies on TikTok who love Black Swan. Hopefully they know who Darren Aronofsky is. If you're loving Black Swan, then support his work.
Right.
Even though he's a male director, go support him. And you're also going to get the people who are excited for Brendan Fraser.
Yes.
And one of the podcasts I literally talk about it all the time, but one of the podcasts I love, The Toast, they don't really, like, do a ton of movie stuff, but, like, the host on there is, like, beyond excited. She said, like, if he doesn't win the Oscars, she's gonna shave her head. Like, she's going crazy about this. I don't even know if she'll actually see the movie, but, like, I think pop culture wise a lot of people are going to be excited for him to make a comeback. I thought that this was just, like, such a strong performance from him. It's really incredible. And I was reading an article that was saying, I don't know, it's hard because he, at the premiere, brought two of his sons. And everyone was like, wow, they're quite handsome. Because, you know, Brendan Fraser was like, you know, this is Tarzan. So, but I guess he has another son who's on the spectrum, and he rapidly gained weight. And Brendan was saying that this kind of, in a way, like, connected him, or, like, made him, like, understand that side of his son a little more. And I just think overall, like, in terms of the criticism this is getting, and I never want to give a film a pass or an exception or something.
Right.
But I think given the, I guess I want to say, like, the extremities of this.
Yes.
It's a different scenario to me than, say, you know, a show like Renee Zellweger was in, or something Christian Bale has done. Like,
right.
And yes, he has, like, gained the weight. But then again, it's like, okay, why are you having an actor just like, okay, can you conform to this, when there's already people who are in those bodies
exactly.
and not getting jobs because they're in those bodies and there's not roles for them.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, I listened to, I think it was The Conversation. I want to say it can, because I was like, for a while, we didn't even have a trailer for this.
Right.
And, like, the trailer that came out, I'm sorry, A24, but, like, it wasn't enough for me.
No, it was
I think they said one line in it, which, like, when that happened in the movie, it was something about, like, friends or, like, there's beauty. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to rewatch the trailer. But, you know, we've speak about this where, like, we watch trailers and then when we see the movie, we're like, yes, it's that point. And, like, there was that one point in this. But I was dying for any content. So I was watching, like, these, like, 40-minute long Q&As at Cannes and Venice and all that. And Darren was saying how Brendan was not on his, you know, table. And I guess he watched this Brazilian film that Brendan was in, I guess, a couple years back or something. Because, you know, Brendan hasn't been working in the Hollywood industry, really, which I think is also interesting. Like, you know, he's coming back to work with, you know, an independent sort of film. I don't even know what movie it was that he was in, but yeah, I guess that kind of, or maybe it was theater. I don't know. It was something he watched that Brendan was in, and he was like, wait a minute. And I think watching this, aside from the controversies with the weight, I think Brendan was the right actor to play this.
And
I also
phenomenal.
Think, you know, not that, not to, you know, say every struggle is the same, but he's a man who's been going through a lot of, he was like blacklisted basically. Yeah. And he's playing a character who is also on the outside.
Yeah. The outskirts of society after being, you know, kind of in the in crowd. He did have a quote unquote normal life with a wife and a child and chose a harder path. And then the life got hard and he just kind of crumbled under the pressure. And I thought you were
talking about Brendan for a second. I was like, I did not know this.
Charlie. I mean, I think it's a really beautiful story. And I think it asks all of us, you know, like what are we doing with our lives? What is the end of our life going to look like? And I think it's really hard because people make a lot of really hard decisions when you're trying to find yourself and live your truest life as your truest self. And maybe you have made mistakes and missteps along the way and hurt a lot of people, but when he looks at his daughter and says, you were the one good thing I did. You were the one like right thing that's happened to me. You're perfect. You're beautiful. You're so smart. Like it's, I don't know. I think there is a lot of empathy and love and heart in this movie, despite what a lot of people are saying, you know, it's same as the movie. Missteps can happen. But at the end of the day, I am so happy that this movie got made. And I personally can't wait to rewatch it.
I totally agree. And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at HJoha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Play to Film Adaptations.
Little Birdie Visitors Outside the Window.
And Brendan Fraser and his Renaissance. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.